faithful to the Lord's house. Thank you for coming out. I want to say thank you for those that put the flowers in. Aren't they beautiful? Amen. Matthew chapter 11, very familiar scripture. Please pray for me this morning. You've heard me say stuff like this before. It's one thing when you preach. It's another thing when God convicts you when you're studying and preparing. And just pray that I can preach this in a way that it will come across like the Lord wants it to come across. Okay? So you pray for me. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out to into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind, with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he is the least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater than he. God, we love you. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask your hand to be upon us today. God, you move in this church. God, you speak to hearts as only you can. God, you do what I can't. Because, Lord, all I can do is bring the word, God. Holy Ghost, you speak to hearts. You convict hearts from the front pew to the back pew, the sound booth, and ever who's under the sound of my voice. Help us today, God, and we'll make sure you get all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We know what Jesus said about John the Baptist. We've heard this preached for years and years, how that Jesus said that John the Baptist is the greatest that ever lived, and nobody was like John the Baptist. But Jesus also said some other things concerning some other people. In John chapter 1, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. So I told several folks this week when we had camp meeting last week, Tuesday morning we met at Zaxby's with the preacher and the parsons. And Preacher Mitch Ingram was there. I was there. Brother Preacher Buddy, Jawan, I think Kenny, Annette were there. And I think that was all. But we got to sit around talking after you eat. Got to talking about some of these older ones, Tony, that's gone on. Talking about Preacher Roger Duncan. Talking about Chris's Uncle Leonard. Most of us remember Uncle Leonard, amen. Me and Brother Melvin knew these folks real personal because I spent a lot of time with them. Preacher Mitch got to telling some stories about Preacher Anders, Roger Anders' daddy, Preacher David Anders, and different things. And Annette said something that struck me, Brother Robert. She said, What will they say about us one day? What will they say about us today? So I'm going to preach a little while on this thought. What will they say about you? What will society say about you? Bible tells us in Proverbs 22 verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment. What will they say about you at the restaurants in town? I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all, there ain't going to be no shouting today. Be very few amening. Probably be some oh me's, because that's how it was on me yesterday. What will they say about you at the restaurant? When you go into the restaurant and you got your Liberty Free Will Baptist t-shirt on and you fuss about not getting your tea on time. What will they say about you at the restaurant? What will they say about you at Walmart? What will they say about you in the place that you frequently go? What will they say about you at school? When you wear your Christian t-shirts and you gather around the flagpole and you claim to be a Christian, what will they say about you? What will they say about you on your job? Brother West kind of mentioned that a little bit this morning. What will they say about you on your job? Will they say that they're the sweetest person, even when people aren't treating them right? They're just a sweet person. They just show the love of God all over the place. Is that the kind of testimony that you have? I won't never forget. I was in Conway for a revival, or if I'm not mistaken, and I think I was staying at one of the motels there. Juwan wasn't with me that week, and I don't remember why. This has been several years ago, and I went down, and I didn't have, Brother Ed, I forgot my reading glasses. Amen. I needed some glasses to read my Bible when I was preaching that night. So I go down to a local Dollar General, and you know, it's very busy. I walk in, and there's a lot of people, and I walk in and I turn to the right to try to find the glass, and I hear a voice. And I knew who it was when I heard the voice. I knew the man. I mean, the man would go to church, sit on the front row, hoot and holler at the preacher. I mean, every time, you know, there was a revival going on, he would go down there, he would be on the front row hooping and hollering at the preacher, and he was giving that little clerk up and down. And I thought, I'm going to the back of the store, because I don't want to walk up there to him and say, "Hey, preacher, how you doing? It's so good to..." And be a hypocrite right in front of everybody.
Right.
What do they say about you? What do they say about you? I heard a story one time about somebody after the Civil War was over. Some people come to Robert E. Lee, and they had some kind of little scheme that they had planned on making money. And they come to Robert E. Lee and want to know, could they use his name to make money? And he told them, he said, "Let me tell you something. After the war, I lost my home. After the war, I lost my farm. After the war, I lost my health." He said, "All I've got left is my name, and you will not destroy it." So what do people say about you? I tried to get all my little points in a row. What will your seed say about you? What do your kids say about you? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 2 verse 6 to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says this, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." How do you talk around your kids? How do you act around your kids? See, it's one thing to come to church and act one way and then go home and act another way. It's one thing to come to church and everybody just pat you on the back and talk about how good you are, and then you go home and act like an idiot at home. Yeah, come on. It's one thing to tell your kids not to do something, and you do it. See that? How do you talk around your kids? See that? Let me go ahead and tell y'all. Y'all listen to me real good. There's a lot of folks got a way of talking at church that they don't talk like that everywhere else. There's a lot of folks that think it's all right to come to church and be a Christian on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night and cuss like a sailor all during the week. You ain't nothing but a hypocrite, and I'm going to be honest with you, and you're a sorry church member if that's how you do. I've told this story many times, Brother Robert. There was a guy, I was on the deacon board at White Savannah. There was a guy that got his banjo. He come up and started playing with the band, and it sounded good. Sounded good. Somebody come to me. Said, Brother Timmy said, you know he's not a Christian. I said, for real? He said, no, he's not a Christian. I'm talking about faithful to church. Been coming to church for a few years, faithful. So me and another deacon went and talked to him, and we set him down in one of the classrooms, and I called him by name. I said, are you a Christian? He hung his head. He said, no. I said, why not? I said, you're faithful to church. You come to church. And this is what he told me. He said, my daddy goes home and carries on and cusses and runs my mama around the house with a knife and gives us a hard time. He said, if my daddy's saved, I ain't got nothing to worry about. What a reputation. See, most preachers ain't got the guts to stand up at your funeral and say something like that. And I wouldn't want to stand up at a funeral and say something like that. But I'm telling you right now, I hope and I pray that my kids one day will say, hey, my daddy was the same way at church as he was at home. And my daddy was the same way at Walmart as he was at church. What do your kids say about you? James Baldwin said this. Children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. Do you hear what I said? Children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they never fail to imitate them. What do your kids say about you? What do your seed say about you? What will your spouse say about you? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Proverbs 18, 22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor with the Lord. We know that wives are supposed to love their husbands just like the husbands love the wife. When we know we're supposed to be there for each other. The Bible says that when we get married, we're to cling to each other. What will your spouse say about you? See, and what will your spouse say about you? And I'm not talking about when you're around.
Come on.
I'm talking about when you ain't there. What will your spouse say about you after you pass away and they're sitting around talking about stuff? I've talked to a lot of ladies over the years and husbands over the years talking to one lady here a while back, and she, this is what she said, Jamie. She said, I don't ever remember one happy day of being married. What a reputation. What a reputation. I can't tell you how many times over the years talked to ladies and they would say something, I just wish my husband would have been faithful. What a reputation. One lady told me, she said, I honestly believe that my husband married me on a bet and didn't love me. On a lighter note, I heard one lady say one time that she had never told her husband no. What do your spouse say about you? You see, the one that's supposed to be your best friend in the whole world, the one that you promised to love and nurture and be there for, a lot of times we ain't. The one that we're supposed to lift up to God more than anybody else, a lot of times we don't. So what will they say about you? Your spouse say he left me like Jesus? Will your spouse say they were faithful? How many times over the years, I can't tell you how many times over the years, Clint, that I've talked to people and one lady talked about how many times her husband would run off and how many times her husband would leave and how many times her husband would do this and this and this. But she said, the Lord just wouldn't let me leave and the Lord just wouldn't let me go. And finally, the husband finally got saved. The Lord, but what about all those years that they wasted? What will your spouse say about you? I found this little illustration. It said the Queen Mary was the largest ship across the oceans when it was launched in 1936, and for decades and even through the World War, she served until she retired, and now they anchored it as a floating motel somewhere there in Long Beach, California. During the conversion of her and trying to turn it over, the massive smokestacks were taken down to be repainted, but on the dock they crumbled and just crumbled away. There was nothing left of the 3/4-inch steel plates from which the stacks had been formed. All that remained were more than 30 coats of paint that had been put on it over the years. And all it was a shell. What's rusted away your marriage? What's rusted away your relationship with your spouse? Is it all the hateful things that we say to each other? How's your relationship? Now let me ask you a good question. What will the Savior say about you? We know from reading the Bible that Jesus said of John the Baptist, there's never been a greater. Jesus basically said they ain't nobody like him. But then he goes on to say, even the least in the kingdom is greater than he. So what will Jesus say about us? And when I got to thinking about this, Greg, I thought about it. And I looked it up. When Mary left where she was at when she was pregnant, when Mary left where she was at to go to visit Elizabeth, when John the Baptist was in her womb and Jesus was in Mary's womb, Mary had to travel between 80 and 100 miles to get there. So if they grew up like that, Jesus did not grow up around John the Baptist. But he knew John the Baptist. Why? Because he's God. There's things about me that my wife don't know about. There's things about me my kids don't know about. There's things about me that my grandkids don't know about. But there ain't nothing about me that Jesus don't know about. So what will Jesus say about you? If you're lost, he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. That's going to be awful. That's going to be awful. Let me go ahead and tell you something, folks. And I didn't come to preach on hell, but there is a heaven and there is a hell, and the saved go to heaven and the lost go to hell. There's bad people in heaven and there's good and great people in hell. I said this at a funeral just a few weeks ago. Everybody in heaven don't deserve to be there. And everybody in hell deserves to be there. Think about what I just said. But what will Jesus say about you? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The lost are going to go to the great white throne judgment, but the saved are going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And I've heard people say something stupid like this. Only God can judge me. That ought to scare you to death. That ought to scare you to death. That God's going to be the one to judge you. The one that knows everything about you. The one that knows every thought that you have. Every word that you say. Every idle word that you say in Walmart. At the way you act at school. I'm telling you, God's going to judge us. We're going to have to stand before Jesus. What's Jesus going to say about your anger issues? Oh, me. Now, I'm probably the only one in this building that has anger issues. I'm probably the only one in this building that flies off the handle. So what's Jesus going to say about it? See, in our stupid little pea brains, we want to justify how we act. But every action is a choice that we make. What's Jesus going to say about our thoughts? When ain't nobody else around, how do you act? What's Jesus going to say about our faithfulness to church and our faithfulness to his Bible and our faithfulness to doing the things that the Bible tells us to do? What's Jesus going to say about our tithes? What's Jesus going to say about our witnessing? I don't come up with a whole lot of quotes. But I said this a few times over the years. You can be right with man and be wrong with God. But you can't be right with God and be wrong with man. So I want to apologize to my wife that I've not been the husband that you deserve. And I want to apologize to my kids that I've not been the daddy that you deserve. And I want to apologize to my grandkids. I've not been the papa that you deserve. And I want to apologize to this church that I've not been the pastor, Robert, that you deserve. Clint, I've not been the pastor that you deserve. And I'm sorry. There was an old preacher back years ago named Marsh. He preached a sermon on the importance of confessing sin and, whenever possible, making restitution for our wrongs. At the close of the service, a church member came up to him with a troubled conscience. He basically said, "Pastor," he said, "you put me in a fix." He said, how have I done that?" He said, "You see, I'm a boat builder, and I work for a boat builder, and the man I work for is lost, and I've talked to him over the years about the need for Christ and urged him to come hear you preach, but he scoffs and he ridicules and he laughs, and lately I've become guilty for something that I've done, and I'm worried about acknowledging it to him." He said, "Well, what have you done?" He said, well, I worked for this boat builder. And he said, I started building me a boat at home. He said, but he didn't have any copper nails because the copper nails cost so much. He said, so what I would do, I would take a bag of nails home about every day. He said, and I justified it because he didn't pay me a whole lot, so I just figured he owed it to me. He said, but now, since you preached this message, he said, it's worrying me. And the preacher basically told him, said, well, son, you need to go to him. He said, but you don't understand. He's lost. He'll mock me. He'll look down on me because I'm supposed to be a Christian and I'm supposed to be living right. He said, well, I'm just telling you, if you're going to be right with God, you got to make it right. So all through the night, he struggled with this thing. And the next morning, he got up and goes to work. And he confesses everything to his boss. And he backs up expecting the boss to really jump all over him. And the boss looks at him and said, wow. He said, there must be really something to this Christianity. To make you confess like that when you didn't have to, and the boss man got saved. Let me ask you a question. What's your copper nail? What's your copper nail? Well, we all got them. We all got them. What will they say about you? See, I'm not talking about when we had the funeral. Because everybody has to come in and make everything rosy at a funeral. I try my best not to say anything bad at a funeral because the family's grieving. But what about after the funeral? When it's been 6 months. What kind of reputation do you have? You already know. See, you can fool me, but you ain't fooling yourself, and you're not fooling God. I want you to bow your heads as Brother Robert.